It's always a challenge to preach on Remembrance Sunday. Like the majority of people alive today, I haven't lived through a world war, and the wars of my lifetime have been seen through the eyes of television. And of course, what we see on television is, if you like, I don't want to use this phrase in a belittling sense, but really the sort of edited highlights or lowlights of what's going on. Horrific, yes, but lacking the human experience and the immediacy which those in the congregation over, I guess, 70-something could tell us about if we asked them. However, in preparing, I have been able to turn, or rather return, to one of my great heroes from the First World War, thanks to a new biography which Rhoda gave me for my birthday. Geoffrey Studdart Kennedy, died in 1929 at the age of 40. And by the time of his death, he was a well-known national figure, a legend for many who referred to him as Woodbine Willie. He was born in 1889 and was the 12th of his father's 14 children. Five by one wife, who then died, and nine by his second wife, Joan. And those who met Geoffrey say that he was extraordinarily ugly, which seems rather unkind. But it was actually neither the size of his family nor his looks that made him famous. It was his work as a chaplain or a padre in the First World War. And what he learnt from his experiences, he spent the next 10 years sharing with people in Britain and abroad. And indeed, among his listeners was King George V, because he was appointed as a royal chaplain and had to preach twice a year to the royal family. But Father Geoffrey, as his parishioners called him, became vicar of St. Paul's in Worcester early in June 1914. And the ministry in that very much a working-class parish, his ministry was very much based on friendship, the sacraments, with a strong focus on baptisms and funerals as points of contact with the wider community. And when the war came along, he welcomed it, and he encouraged his parishioners to enlist. In fact, he was quite scornful of conscientious objectors, believing that everybody had a duty to combat the threat posed by the Central European powers. And he himself volunteered as a chaplain and arrived in France just before Christmas 1915. Now, a lot of the chaplains came from a sort of public school background and found it very difficult to communicate with the ordinary soldiers. But there were a number, like Father Geoffrey, who made it their business to live alongside the soldiers, to go with them to the front line, to follow them over the top, to tend to the wounded and the dying. Sometimes he found himself stationed at the embarkation point where the troops left on trains to be moved up to the front. And it was here that he gained his nickname from his custom of walking along the trains, offering soldiers a copy of the New Testament and a packet of Woodbines, cigarettes. In the early 20th century, people knew very little about the harmful effects of smoking, and a packet of Woodbines was regarded as a good present. Cigarettes and Gospels, an unusual approach to ministry, but one which the soldiers loved and responded to. And when the war was over, he wrote a book, well, he wrote several books, but he wrote a particular book in which he expressed his thoughts about war. And it seems to me that his thoughts expressed there are of greater value than mine might be this morning. So I'm just going to offer you a few things from this book that Woodbine Willie produced about what the war had taught him. His overwhelming thought was that the war had been a complete folly. In contrast to his great enthusiasm for it in 1914, he recognised the great heroism of many who took part. he himself was awarded the Military Cross for bravery. But he saw war as the consequence of the arrogance, ambition, and weakness of the ruling classes of his day. And he argued it had done nothing to enhance the lives of the ordinary people who died in their hundreds of thousands. And he wrote a poem about it, and I'll just read you a bit of it. Waste of muscle, waste of brain, waste of patience, waste of pain, waste of manhood, waste of health, waste of beauty, waste of wealth, waste of blood, waste of tears, waste of youth's most precious years, waste of ways the saints have trod, wastes of glory, waste of God, war. Fairly passionate piece of verse. And his experience led him, like many others, to ask questions about God. The sort of questions that are posed in the book of Job that Faith has just read to us from. If God is almighty and omnipotent, why does he allow wars to happen? Why doesn't he simply stop them from breaking out? Why was there so much suffering? And for Woodbine Willie, the answer lay in the fact that God didn't make us as machines, as, if you like, robots. He made us with free will. And sadly, people often use that free will to make wrong choices. And God's response, he said, is not to wave a sort of magic wand to stop them, but to suffer beside those who suffer. God in Christ knows about suffering and is there for us. And even in the intense horror of, for example, the first days of the Battle of Somme, where he was, he sensed God's presence. He sensed God alongside him and alongside his men as they suffered. And this was a very powerful experience for Woodbine Willie. He told of a conversation he'd had with a fellow chaplain soon after the massive explosion at the Messines Ridge, in which thousands of people had been buried alive. His colleague had come up to him and said, "You know, this business," he meant this event at Messines, "has made me less cocksure of much that I was cocksure about beforehand. Now there are only two things I'm certain about: Christ and his sacrament. Christ and the communion." And this enhanced awareness of the human experience of Christ was for these two padres a deeply experienced product of their shared suffering on the Western Front. So his time of war gave him an enhanced sense of the presence of Christ in the midst of suffering, identifying with it and supporting people through it. Woodbine Willie also celebrated communion almost every day on the front line. And he encouraged the soldiers to see it not just as a vehicle for receiving the assurance of forgiveness, but also as giving them strength to do what they had to do. As we put it in our communion service, the strength to go in faith, to love and serve the Lord. And this call to service was, of course, an even more powerful theme in time of war. Service, which was at the very heart of Christ's ministry. And, of course, service inevitably leads to sacrifice of one sort or another. If we commit ourselves to service, we commit ourselves to sacrifice. Woodbine Willie also felt that the war taught him much about prayer. He told the story of two men preparing to go over the top. One, a sergeant, was sitting in the trench, swearing away, psyching himself up for what was to come. The other, a private, was sitting in a corner, praying aloud for his own safety and protection. Woodbine Willie found this incident particularly challenging. The sergeant, in his own way, was preparing to do his duty. The private was preoccupied, quite naturally we may feel, with his own survival. And Woodbine Willie found himself drawn to the sergeant. And this incident led him to a lot of reflection. And he found himself reflecting on Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed, if possible, the suffering might be taken from him. But that ultimately his prayer was for the strength to do God's will, strength to serve. And this helped Woodbine Willie as he reflected on the nature of prayer within the context of that horrible situation. War is horrendous, and much of what happens shocks and appalls us. This is as true of what we see happening in Syria or Afghanistan today as it was in the mud of Ypres or the horrors of the Battle of the Atlantic in the Second World War or the beaches of Dunkirk. And the book of Job is about a man who faced one tragedy after another. Experiences which led his friends and indeed him to question very pointedly the nature and existence of God. But in the middle of this, Job was able to state, I know that my Redeemer lives. And interestingly, this insight doesn't come at the conclusion of Job's experience of suffering, but actually in the middle. Now, I'd never wish to glamorize warfare. Now, I'd never wish to idealize suffering. Of course not. But I know there are people in this church this morning who can testify to the presence of God in the very darkest times, to a certainty of his understanding of their suffering, and to a sense of the strengthening power of both prayer and the bread and wine of the sacraments. There was, of course, much more that Woodbine Willie had to say about war. He writes movingly, for example, of his awareness of God through the beauty of nature, even when he woke up in a muddy, damp shell hole, the song of the birds spoke to him of God. Woodbine Willie died at the early age of 40. He spent the last 10 years of his life fighting for greater social equality, reflecting the understanding of the needs of the poor, which his time in the trenches had given him. He also spoke out passionately about a Christ who came to love and to serve, and whom we are called to follow in that context. A Christ with whom he shared the darkness and horror of the trenches, and a Christ who inspired him in those trenches and for the rest of his life. And so today on Remembrance Sunday, as we reflect in our own ways, perhaps about personal memories, perhaps about what we've seen on television, perhaps with a heightened awareness of those who still suffer from the consequences of war, let's remember that even in these times of suffering, God is there with us, beside us, and that we, through prayer and through the actions that we're taking this morning as we draw close and take the bread and wine, can know that presence and through him receive strength to go on and to serve him and to serve those around us. Amen.